Welcome to the Blessed Sacrament Homilies Podcast, where our mission is to help everyone recognize and experience the presence of God. We hope you are nourished and encouraged by the Word. Thank you for joining us.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Our understanding of the Trinity, God as Father, Son, and Spirit, is first and foremost a mystery, which means that it is beyond what our vocabulary and our intellects can fully absorb. But there are some truths that we have taught since the earliest days of the church about the Trinity and how we define the Trinity. And it's important to remember that it didn't take too long after that first Pentecost for there to be some disagreements in the church, even in the days before the term Christianity ever existed. One of the first ones was an understanding of, do you have to first be a good practicing Jew in order to be a follower of the way? And that controversy was there in those earliest days, but the elders, the leaders, the apostles came together and they worked it out. They prayed about it and they looked for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and they came to some resolutions. But there was no set book of doctrine and dogma and theology that was just presented to the earliest church. So when controversies and disagreements came up, the church would gather and look for the guidance of the Spirit. And when it was something that was truly big and central to who we are and what we're about, councils were called in the same sense that the Second Vatican Council was called in the 1960s. And one of those councils, the Council of Nicaea in the year 325, came together, and one of the issues that they wrestled with was the identity of Jesus and how Jesus falls into our understanding of the Trinity. And as they debated and argued and prayed and reflected, it was critical for what came out of that council that we understand that Jesus is a member of the Trinity, is fully God, and that Jesus is also eternal. So what we got out of it was what we know of as the Nicene Creed, the one that we don't profess very often here, because my theory is I had to do the Nicene Creed for the first 17 years of my priesthood, so until I get 34 years in, I'll do the Apostles' Creed. But also because it's a little bit more absorbable language for us. But in the Nicene Creed, in the old translation, 10 plus years ago, the phrase begotten, not made, one in being with the Father, which let us know, begotten reminds us that Jesus is eternal. One in being means to us that Jesus is part of the Trinity. Well, the new translation substitutes the word consubstantial with the Father. Now, I'm sure you use that every day in your common speech, but most of us don't. And if you ask a theologian, what does consubstantial mean? They will tell you one in being. at which point in time your head explodes. But it means that Jesus is made of the same stuff of the Father, as is the Holy Spirit. Co-eternal, have always existed. But what's critical for us as church is to remember that that understanding of the Trinity means that the Trinity is relational. The love of Father and Son breathe the Spirit into the universe. And that everything about the love of our God is based on relationship, which translates into who we are as a church. That we are a relational church. The reason why we gather together and don't simply say it's enough to, I believe in God and I pray, that's good enough. No. The reason why it's not good enough is because we all gather together as one body. St. Paul reminds us that we are all members of the body of Christ. We are relational. And over the years, perhaps you even had this happen, people will ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I never quite know how to answer that will satisfy them. So my typical answer is, well, kind of. And then they'll look at me like, what is wrong with this guy? And I'll follow it up with, I'll say, well, not quite my personal, but our Lord and Savior. And then it always leads to a bigger conversation. That we all move towards the fullness of the kingdom of God. That every member of the body is important and valued and needed. And salvation comes to us as a community we call the church. We don't simply worry about ourselves, but we work together and move together in one direction towards the fullness of life in Christ. That's what we're about. We are relational because we believe that our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is relational.